Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Colin Squires.
We're continuing our series on prayer this morning. Has anyone, have you noticed your prayer life start to change in any way? Hopefully positively. I found myself praying in tongues a lot more. Often when I'm in the car on my own, I'm like, I don't listen to the radio a lot, so I might think things over and I go, hey, do you know what was much more fruitful than just thinking things over? Definitely. Praying in tongues while I think things over and allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. And in that, I noticed like suddenly there's sudden change in something or anything like that. But one morning, a few weeks ago, I woke up and I often, if I'm perfectly honest, I don't find it super easy to just pray for others. Okay, I know you're thinking, oh, you're a pastor. Has anyone here done Grow? People join the church, done Grow? Great, isn't it? Really helpful, help you discover your giftings, and you answer some questions that helps you kind of reflect on what has God called me to do. And I rate highly on like craftsmanship and working with my hands. I thank you, Jesus, for that. And I rate highly on these couple of other bits. You know the one I score lowest on? Intercession. But I woke up in the morning and I do it. I still intercede. I still pray, of course. I still pray for you. But sometimes it's more out of obedience and because I know it's important and it's right rather than it comes easily. And I woke up and I just had this person on my mind, one of you guys, and I started praying and it came so easily. It was like a conversation with Jesus and he was saying, pray this. Oh, great. And I prayed it and like, oh, wow, Jesus, it's so insightful. And I prayed it. And then this other person came to mind. I started praying for them and I'm praying for them. And it was just so easy. And this is the crazy thing for me. It was fun. Like, some of you are like, we've got that revelation. But for me, I was like, wow, Jesus, interceding for others was genuinely like, I can't wait for tomorrow. And tomorrow I woke up in the morning to go, Jesus, ready, I'm ready. Who are we praying for today? And it just started coming again. And I'm like, Jesus, the more you kind of tasting it, the more I'm hungering for it. And the more I want Jesus, do that more. Like I want to grow as a man of prayer and intercession. And I want it to be fun because it's connecting with him. And I want this reminder at the heart of everything we're talking about prayer is not here's a great way to pray in a different way, or here's an interesting way to pray, or here's a novel way to pray. That's not what we're talking about. We're really talking about the heart of God is here's a way to connect with the heart of Jesus afresh. That is what all of this is about. Him wanting to journey with us, go, I want to talk to you, I want you to talk to me, and we go deeper together in our relationship and our intimacy together. Amen? And so today we're looking at part two of Praying the Word. Claire, who is leading this morning, brought a brilliant message a few weeks ago that was the foundation of this, the part one, really about the importance of living the Word, searching the Word, applying the Word, knowing the Word. And so today we're going to be practical and we're going to do it. So let me ask with this first question. If Jesus walked into the room right now, the physical just embodiment of the glory of God in Christ, Jesus himself physically, tangibly walked into this room right now, could he heal you? Do you believe? Like if he walked in the room right now, a genuine question, would you be going, oh, if I ask him, Jesus, could you? I don't know if he could. Or would you say, Jesus, will you? I don't know if he will. If he walked into this room, would there be any doubt? Or would you be like, of course he will. Of course he can. Could he save you if you don't know him? If Jesus himself, God, walked into this room, would you be like, I fall on my knees. Jesus, you're real. What must I do to be saved? I know you can. Could he deliver you? Whatever the circumstance or struggle, could he sort it out and give you what you needed for it? Well, I think so too. Let me read you this. Let's our ears hear this. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him, all things were made. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing could have been made that has been made. In him was light, life, and that life was the light of man. That light shines in the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it, comprehend it. Now listen to this next bit in verse 14. And that word, the word of God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word of God, this, is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. This, the Word of God, everything that God has spoken, made flesh. I like to think of it this way, like almost like if Jesus were a movie, then the Bible is the screenplay. If you've seen Jesus, you know what this says, because they're one and the same thing. One's the written down version of the movie, and one's the movie in pictures. If I read the screenplay, I'd know exactly how the movie happened, scene by scene. They're one and the same thing. They're different expressions of this person of Jesus. The word says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth, it came in the person of Jesus. And so if Jesus, if he walked into the room right now, could do those miracles, and we would have no problem doubting that, we would go, yes, of course you can, then the same is true when we put our faith in these words and we speak them out.
Amen.
Amen. Like,
amen.
I think if we like this personal, physical Jesus walked in, we go, yes, of course you can. But with this physical book, with the words written in here, there sometimes seems to be more complicated. And I know I can feel like I can complicate it myself. But Jesus is here when we speak his word with faith. Amen? This is what Claire was talking about when she spoke a couple of weeks ago. If it just stays in this book on a shelf, it's not going to do very much. But if we take it and we apply it and we speak it with faith, we believe it, then it is as though Jesus is here bodily. So today in praying the word, we're going to look at three areas. We're going to look at confessing the word, meditating on the word, and praying the word over others. We start with confession. I want to get through this so we can do the practical bit. Now, there are some Bible verses that I frequently come back to. I read some of them out to you this morning. These are Bible verses that over the years of situations have come up, or I've recognized areas of thinking in me that like they just need to be in line with God better. It's not the way I naturally think or whatever. I will write them down, and they're all in a particular note on my phone so that I've always got them with me, and I'll go back to them and I'll read them and I'll speak them over myself and I'll confess them. And if something's come up, sometimes I go, I don't have a promise for that. I don't know. I know what the word says generally, but I need to have it like a thing to hold on to. And so what I'll do is I'll pray. I'll ask God, lead me to a word. I'll Google. I'll open my Bible. Sometimes I'll just, when I'm reading something else, something will jump out of context, or I'll look at a concordance and I'll find that word that jumps off the page that goes, that makes me go, yes, that's it. That's what I needed to hear. And I'll write it down in this note on my phone. I'll add it and I'll pray it and I'll make it mine. I'll take it until I know it and I speak it, and that truth kind of squeezes out. And I do what Pastor Colin taught us. Pastor Colin Urquhart, I'm not speaking in the like third person, that'd be very weird. Pastor Colin Urquhart taught us to take these verses and make them personal. For example, John 10:28-29 says, I give them, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking of his sheep, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. And I read that and I go, thank you, Jesus, that's great. But then I make it mine. I speak it like this. I pray it out like this. I, Colin, I have been given eternal life. I will never perish. No one can snatch me away from Jesus. For God the Father has given me to Jesus. And he, the Father, is more powerful than anyone else. So no one can snatch me from the Father's hand. Thank you, Father, that I'm in your hand. Thank you that I belong to Jesus. And I start to thank him and it becomes this prayer. If it's been sickness, then I find Bible verses about sickness. By his stripes, Jesus, thank you that by your stripes I am healed. If it's been anxiety, I've confessed that Jesus, your peace, you have left me. You've left me peace. You've given me your peace. Not as a peace that the world could ever hope to give. So I do not let my heart be troubled and I do not need to be afraid. I have your peace. It is my peace now. Thank you, Jesus. And it changes things. And as Claire said, there is not a situation or set of circumstances that God will not have an answer for in his word. He always has a word to stand on, like a firm rock in a stormy sea that brings us faith and confidence. So today, we're going to practice. Now, I know many of you do this already. You'll have your like your prophetic promises. You'll have your word that you stand on, your daily confessions. But for those of you, maybe if you don't, this is a great time to start doing this. And for those of those of us who do, this is a great time just to be refreshed, reminded of just how good this is, how important this principle, and how we can do this frequently and encourage one another in it. So if you want to just get your chairs together, Shuffle together. You just turn in, just get some small groups. Now, you don't need to know the person if you're going to do this with. But please, the one thing I ask is when you shuffle together, just have a look around and make sure there is no person who's on their own, who's not got someone to talk to. We're not anybody left on their own. For those of you who find this maybe a little bit difficult or you maybe find this a little bit anxiety provoking, let's just say that and we'll be really gracious with one another and we'll bear with one another because God wants to do something really special through us this morning together. Amen. So just get in little groups. Great. If I have your attention just for 1 minute, and then I'll let you loose over this. A friend recently shared with me a meme about introverts preparing for Sunday morning church. And it says 6 a.m., start preparing for turn and greet your neighbour. And then 10 a.m., turn and greet your neighbour. And then 11:30 a.m., spend rest of day recovering from turn and greet your neighbour. So I apologise to all you introverts right now. But what I'm going to ask you to do in your groups is take a couple of minutes to share, maybe just in twos or threes within your group, a situation or something that maybe you have been struggling with or something you find just doesn't come easily, maybe in your thinking, maybe the recognition of who you are in Christ. Maybe there's a situation that you're struggling with, you don't know if, is God in this or not? Maybe there's some doubt, maybe there's sickness or you need some healing, but something that is personal for you. And please encourage us all. Be as vulnerable as you feel you can. And anything that's shared, we keep in those groups. We're going to just share that. And I'm going to pray now. Jesus, as we do that, as we share, would you bring to our mind your word? Bring to our mind scriptures and passages and Bible stories and just where you have spoken, Jesus, through your word. And then maybe you just get a gist or maybe you get a scripture, you know, chapter and verse. But whatever it is, you might need to then grab a phone, you might need to Google, you might need to find a concordance, you might just need to Google Bible verses about love or whatever it might be. And just spend a minute or two just finding a promise that you can stand on and then pray it over one another. You might pray it something like this, like we've done this morning. Just take that verse and just make it personal or make it personal for the other person. Or you might just pray it like this, like, thank you, Jesus, that I am a new creation because your word says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. Or Lord, I'm hiding your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Just take that verse and just pray it short, simple, clear. But before you start, there's one thing I just want to remind us of. I believe God just put his finger on and said this. One lie, that one of the biggest lies we can believe that hinders us from praying the word is this. I will begin to speak it out and pray it when I believe it. And I've had people say to me, well, I'm not sure this is me, so how can I be praying this or saying this or singing this song because I feel like a hypocrite because I don't know if it's true of me. And this is such a lie of the enemy. It is the other way around. We must speak it out so that we believe it. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Hear yourself, speak the word then, and faith will come. Let's speak it and speak it and speak it. Say, because this is truth. This is the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the life. So I'm going to speak it until I know that it is true for me. Okay, so over to you next few minutes. Share, get a Bible verse, and then pray it for one another. Okay, don't rush. Take your time. Over to you guys. So I should say, if anyone is thinking, I really can't find a verse, come and grab me or Claire and we'll just help you in that, okay? Just give you one more minute. So if you are not praying already, if you get into the praying bit. Okay, just want to take a moment just to finish up and we'll come back together. Great. Okay, if you just want to turn back this way for a moment, don't worry about moving your chairs back because we'll go back to our groups shortly. Did everyone find a verse? Did everyone find some scripture to pray? Isn't it great when we start to take the word, just don't want to stop praying? Like, this is good. Just give me a wave. If you're like, I still don't have a Bible verse for my situation, can you just put your hand up and just give a wave? If anyone, you're like, we couldn't find anything, I don't really know, I haven't got something to stand on to pray yet. So everyone has got something. Great. What I'd encourage you to do, did you have a sense of faith building as you did that? There's a promise you can hold on to. I would encourage you not to just to go, well, great, we prayed it. Now everything's going to, that's it, going to change. Remember the word, sometimes, when we pray the word, sometimes it's like any other prayer. Pastor Colin used to call it like rocket prayers and tortoise prayers. So rocket prayers, they're answered immediately. There's that moment where everything changes. And then tortoise prayers, it just takes a while to get there. It takes a while, but we just need to keep going. We need to keep confessing. God will answer. And the other way maybe we could think about it is the word describes itself like food. And if we've just been filling ourselves with junk food for years and we eat one salad, we're not suddenly going to drop 10 pounds, our blood pressure come down, you know, we're pre-diabetic and suddenly we're absolutely fine like after one salad. It's good to eat the salad, but we need to keep feeding ourselves on what is good and healthy. And we physiologically, our body begins to change the same way as we feed on the word. Our mind, our thought, thinking, our spirit begins to come alive. So keep it going. I encourage you to write it down. If you have a phone, who doesn't? Write it down in a note. And so you've always got it with you. Maybe you might want to make this part of your daily just time with the Lord. I know Pastor Colin did that. He shared with us one time, like all of these scriptures, so many of just these, I confess these daily, who I am in Christ. And these like prophetic promises that are mine. And I could give you some, But honestly, I think there's a difference when if someone gives you a list of Bible verses, you're, this is brilliant, what a treasure trove. But if you mine it yourself, if you go looking and you spend the time, you seek it and it jumps out, the Holy Spirit says, this is for you, and you write it down for you and you own it, there's something so much, it just seems like there's an extra dimension to that power of the application, because you know, God has spoken this to me. And I know I don't want to get into like the culture of individualism or anything like that, because I think there is an element where Jesus says to each and every one of us, my word is for you. It is for my church, it's for everyone, but also my word is for you. So the next thing we want to look at then is meditation. And this is why it's so important to know the word. I mean, to be able to pray the word, we need to know the word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every situation. We need to know the word, so it's like a storage unit in us. In Luke, Jesus says that out of the good man, speaks good things out of the good stored up in his heart. We want like this storage of good stuff so that when a situation comes up, we can go, aha, I remember the word says. And I love when Pastor Victor comes to be speaking, the number of times he says, the Bible says. There's just this like storage in him of this depth of knowing the word. And Alistair always blows me away. He's like a walking Bible concordance, just knows every, I think he knows the whole thing off by heart. I once tried to see how much of the Bible do I know off by heart. It was 0.3%. A third of every 100 pages I knew of this whole book off by heart. I've got a way to go. But we need to have this storage in us. Now, if you're someone who struggled to memorize scripture, memorizing scripture is so, so useful. If you've struggled to memorize scripture, or maybe your confession has been, I have the memory of a goldfish, or I have a memory like a sieve, or something like that. Maybe this is the best Bible verse for you to start with, which is John 14:26, where Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the words I have said to you. So you can make that your confession. That's your first, maybe your Bible verse that you make your confession. You're praying the word is, thank you, Jesus, that I can memorize scripture because your word says that the Holy Spirit who I have in me will teach me all things and bring to my remembrance, and I'm sure his memory is perfect, all the words of Jesus. And that's where we start. And then maybe we could move on to John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish in my name and it will be given to you. And so just this, like, the word living in us is so important and produces so much fruit. Maybe one of the things then that we could take from this is challenge ourselves. If you've not read the whole Bible, maybe, perhaps you could say, right, well, this is the year I'm going to do Bible in a year. I'd really encourage you to do the Holy Trinity Brompton, Nikki Gumbel's Bible in a Year podcast. Every day there's a bit of a devotional and then some Bible scripture. It's fantastic. Or do the chronological Bible reading plan. My wife Kate was speaking about a few weeks ago. I know many of you have actually, after hearing her speak about that, have started doing that and found just how helpful that is. But just to do something that gets the word in us, or challenge yourself to memorize maybe one Bible verse a week, just to get something that will feed us. And having said that about reading the whole Bible, I'm now going to say something completely opposite end of the scale, which is it's good to know it all, and Jesus can then remind us of all the bits that we've learned, but it's also really good to let little bits just sink in. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth, that you may meditate on it day and night, so that you can do according to all that is written therein, for then your way will be prosperous and you'll have good success. And so there's this Bible that we meditate on. Now, when we hear the word meditate, I think a lot of us might think of like chanting Om and sitting in silence. That is a sort of an Eastern understanding that is to empty ourselves of everything that we might find enlightenment. And when we're truly empty of everything, then we might find enlightenment. This is the opposite of that. This is saying, fill yourself with the word. Keep it in your mouth. Meditate. The word in Hebrew for meditate is haga, which means to mutter, or the word picture is to chew over. It's almost like a cow chewing the cud, you know, chews the grass. And if you would then just go, oh, that was yummy and delicious, and it came out the other end, it would just be grass. Because there's loads of nutrients in there, but the cow chews it and swallows it, and then regurgitates it from the first bit of stomach, and then chews it over. over again and swallows it. And then again, I think a cow has four stomachs, is that right? Or four stages of digestion, and keeps chewing and then back, and then chewing and going back. And this idea of, I'm not, you know, like that's not a physical manifestation of doing that. We need to just keep mulling it over, chewing it over, speaking it over. And one of the ways I found is really, really helpful. And it's funny because Claire knew that I was doing this part two of speaking on the word. She texted me yesterday and said, oh, I really think it's important to cover this. I was like, that's what God said, it's in there. So there's definitely something I think God was encouraging us to do. Is when we're chewing this over, is to take a Bible verse and allow ourselves to linger on it, to spend time in it, to let the revelation sink in, to not just kind of go, here's my daily devotional and then out the door, but to spend time in just one verse, going over it and over it and really taking the time, letting everything else silence and just hearing this word over and over again. And one of the ways we can do that, in that this chewing it or this meditating on it, this muttering it, is to take a verse. For example, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Rather go, amen, move on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank you, Jesus, that you are Lord. That means you're sovereign. You are in control. Jesus, your name is above every other name. I submit myself to your Lordship afresh, and I trust that you know what is best. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank you, Jesus, you're not just everyone else's Lord and shepherd. You are mine. I belong to you, and you belong to me. Thank you, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. I know your voice. I follow you. You know what's best. You lead me into green pastures. You lead me into good things. Thank you. And we just go over this, muttering this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Forgive me, Lord, when I do. I don't need to. And we just go word by word and just mutter it over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What are the things that I want? I don't need to be in want because the Lord. And we just go over and over and muttering and over and over. One of the things Timothy Keller, the great Bible preacher, talks about is taking exercise with his sort of preacher training course, where he would say, take a Bible verse, write down all that you get out of it that you might preach on. Go. And after 5 minutes, everyone sort of stopped writing. They put their pens down. They look at him. And he just lets them keep going. And 10 minutes, they go, oh, maybe something else, you know. 15 minutes, they're starting to think, what's going on? Or I better get back into it. After about 20 minutes, they go and they're starting to write things down again. And then he'll ask them, okay, if you had to pick one thing out of everything you wrote down, you thought, here's a real, like, a nugget of gold, something wonderful that God has revealed out of his word that you think people need to hear this, you would teach on. Okay, have you got that thing? Yes. Who got that in the first 5 minutes? Like, maybe one hand. What about 10 minutes? A couple of hands. 15 minutes? A couple more hands. After the 20 minutes, like, all the hands go up. Where they just took the time with one verse to really let it sink in. That was where the gold was coming out of. And since I heard Timothy Keller talking about that, I found I do this a lot of the time when, okay, I've got to preach on something, just spend time on that verse and just let it sink in for as long as possible. The meditating and muttering over and over again. We talk about SOAP, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. This has been around for 1,500 years. It's a Benedictine practice that he called, Saint Benedict, he called Lectio Divina, or divine reading, where you take a lectio, you take a verse or passage, and you read it. What things jump out to you? What phrase or image? Then step two, meditatio, you read the text a second time. You focus again on the parts that stood out to you. What is God saying to you? Step three, oratio, you start to speak it out. You jump into a conversation with God as you mutter over this verse. Or you might journal about it or pray in silence about it, but you start a conversation with God. And then contemplatio, which is when you read the text a final time, you read it again and again and again, and you spend time in silence with the Lord and reflecting on it and let him speak to you through it. And finally, thanking God for speaking through that whole prayer experience and praying for his will to be done in our lives. And so these things we've been talking about today, SOAP, meditation, Lectio Divina, muttering over the word, praying the word in that way, or praying the word in confession, is something we can do alone. But it's also something that's great to do together. And so we're not going to, maybe I'm just going to sit there and ask you just to meditate and meditate and mutter and mutter and mutter over a word. But if you've got your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. What I encourage you to do in your group is one person, doesn't matter who, someone just read out the first line, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then take it in turns just to pray that What comes out of that to you? And maybe one person prays something, and you go, wow, that sparked something in you, and then you pray. I'm not saying everyone has to pray before you move on. Just pray. A couple of people, one person, everyone, doesn't matter. And then somebody, when it feels the right time, go on to the second verse. Now, if over the next 5 minutes we get through two verses, that's absolutely fine. This is not about speed or making sure we get to the end of the exercise. It's about letting it sink in. And as we let the Holy Spirit speak through one another, we're going to go a bit deeper. Amen. So take the next 5 minutes and meditate as you pray these words out. Please excuse me for interrupting. I'm just going to draw us back together just for a couple of minutes. Did anyone get past the first line? There's such a richness and depth, isn't there, when we begin to pray the word like this and just what one another, what we bring out of this. So I really encourage you, get in a prayer triplet, grab a couple of people and say, hey, why don't we just start meeting together? And we're just going to start by praying through Psalm 23. You might end up meeting for the next 6 weeks. Just on the one, just praying the word and the depth that God wants to bring out of it. Really briefly then, the last area I said we needed to look at, I felt God said to look at, was in praying the word for others. So I'm just going to be very brief with this. The word describes itself as these different things, among others. Food, it describes itself as milk, bread, meat, solid food, honey. The word is sustenance to us, so we must consume it, we must eat it, we must feed on it. It describes itself as rain and snow that waters the ground, causing it to grow, to be fruitful. So we need to soak in it. We need to let our parched, dry areas of our heart produce fruits. We need to read it, receive it, meditate on it, let it rest on the ground and be soaked in. It describes itself as a mirror, that we reflect on it then. We understand who we are when we look at it. It is gold. We must treasure it, recognize its value. A lamp or light that shines into darkness. It is something that we live by. We followed its instructions. We don't see the light shining this path and walk off in another direction. And we put it into practice. These are things we can do ourselves, but there's also elements of the word, the way it describes itself, that really speaks of speaking it aloud, either to ourselves or to others. It describes itself as a seed that is sown, something that's given out. We share the gospel, we share the truth, we share the word with others. Remember that statistic that one of the primary way that people are coming to Christ today is through reading the Bible. We can give the word, share the word with others, stick it on our Facebook pages and all those kind of things. We can speak it of ourselves. It is also water that cleanses. Speaking it to others and over ourselves is cleansing. It cleanses our minds. It is also, though, you spoken of as a sword, both in Ephesians and Hebrews. A sword is an offensive weapon that must be wielded to strike down our enemies. And remember, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh and blood, but they're spiritual and they're powerful for the tearing down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and powers. The word is also described as a fire and a hammer. They're strong for breaking rocks. These things are tools we use for clearing ground so that crops can be sown, for breaking up rocks to make a way. They clear things out of the way and they bring purpose and direction and space and that spacious place. And so the word is powerful in intercession. Claire was talking about the power of life and death is in the tongue. We speak life as we speak into situations. And so if we haven't got time to get back into groups this morning, but I'd really encourage you today, while we're after the service, to whether you're grabbing a coffee in the hub or you're chatting with somebody at the play centre or you're staying here in your groups, just grab somebody and do this last bit together or some point in the week. This is exactly the same exercise as we did in the first one, sharing something that is real, that's going on, getting the word and then praying it for ourselves, but this time for another, for someone we know who doesn't know the Lord or someone who's going for their sickness or their deliverance or whatever it might be, and praying the word together in agreement. You also might want to say, share what God has been putting in your heart to encouraging you to do. If it was, do the Bible in a year. Share that and have some accountability so that the person can check in with you, go, how's it going? And you go, oh, I forgot this week. And it helps remind you to do it again. So just a bit of accountability. And the last thing I just want to share with you before Claire comes up and just shares our kind of our highlights and notices for this week and what's coming up in the life of the church is this. If you're not a Christian, if you are somebody who wouldn't call yourself a Christian, I just want to read and pray this Bible verse over you. And I just ask, can we all just pray this and make it real for ourselves? For God so greatly has loved you and dearly prized you that he even gave his one and only begotten son, Jesus, so that you could come to know him, to believe in him and trust in him as your savior, that you shall not perish but have eternal everlasting life. I just pray that wherever you are, if you're watching the stream, if you're in this room or you feel far from God, that you would hear these words, the words of Jesus. He loved you so much he gave his life for you, that if you put your trust in him and you start to speak this for yourself. You take this and you believe this truth and say, Jesus, you have died for me because of your love for me. So I choose to put my trust in you and believe in you. You will not perish but have everlasting life. And if you want to pray that prayer, if you want to pray that word, I'd love to have a conversation with you afterwards. And we encourage you to, that, as always, hopefully this is a word this morning, that we don't just go, oh, that was great, and we move on. But it changes the way we pray. It changes our daily devotion. It changes the way we pray with one another. That we start to take this and feed on it and let it change us.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.